This is the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 555, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down and says his school is great, I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Hey, hey, take it away! Get
so
ball and fight!
To your school.
Fanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 555. There were a lot of things that could have happened right when I started talking there, but they pretty much all went away in the name of efficiency. I'm Josh Flanagan, very efficient. I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
He's got the best books. He's got the best books ever.
He's the best books. I
wouldn't believe these books. Ron Richards.
Hello.
He has a tremendously small vocal range. It doesn't do a lot of things.
Check out comic,
it's tremendous.
Book. Check out comic book.
He has the best words. There's only 8 of them. We are iFanboy. We like comics every week. I don't think we've ever gotten this like overtly political on the show.
Never.
Even it is.
I'm a little uncomfortable.
Well, you should be. I mean, you should be, but not because of that. We are iFanboy and we like comics. Every week we read a stack of our comics and one of us picks their favorite book and we call that the pick of the week. We talk about that book, other books, talk about some other stuff, read some listener mail, do some stuff. It'll be fun. Stuff. Here's your spoiler warning. There's some spoiler stuff in there. So that's going to be a thing that you want to watch out for if you are worried about people telling you what happens in the book you haven't read yet. But that's not our problem. I told you.
Before we begin, Josh, can you clarify, will there be stuff?
I'm checking the script. Yep.
Okay, good. Okay.
Stuff. I have the best words. Connor, you had the pick of the week.
I had the pick of the week, and I said it 2 weeks ago, I think, that I had a lot of books to read, but I also had a lot of good books in that stack, and the same thing happened again this week where I had like 20... in the low 20s, a number of books to read, and I had a lot of really good books. And even though this pick of the week was the clear pick, I could have made the case for 3 or 4 other ones.
Are they the best book? Were they the best books?
Deadly Class, number 22, Rick Remender, Wes Craig, Jordan Boyd, Russ Wooten from Image Comics. And this was actually the first book I read this week, and it stuck with me the whole time. And then I slept on it, and I woke up and I still thought, no, it's still Deadly Class. And what's interesting is that in Deadly Class 21, the nominal protagonist of the series was killed. And
right.
Didn't know if that was shocking. The end of the book or what, but the guy we've been following the whole time died. And now we have Deadly Class and the cover, as it states, New Class. And what I thought was really great about this book was that we have this world that Rick has built for the last almost two years, and now we're inserting a whole bunch of new characters into it. So it's very familiar because we know the backdrop, we know the score, but now we're meeting new people like it's the first time all over again. And like you're in school. Now there's a new class. The people who were freshmen last year are now sophomores.
And now I have the chance to reinvent myself as somebody who fits in. Oh.
I loved it. I thought this was really engaging. I liked the new characters are interesting. I like that there's an angry German guy. It looks like he's about to rob the Nakatomi Tower. And... you know, I didn't waver on Deadly Class in the past, although I did kind of get tired of the main character a little bit.
Well, lucky for you.
Right, so he's gone now. And now we're left with the people who had, you know, what's the guy's name? The guys that were in charge, Shagnab, whatever his name is. Shabnab.
Not going to work here.
So his crew is still running the school. They're the ones that took over during the big finals week in which all the students try to kill each other. And then now we've got a schism in power because the Russian guy, the psychotic Russian killer, he is not actually with them. So there's going to be a conflict there. And then the new kids are in school and they want to establish dominance. So I think there's a lot of interesting things going on here. This all takes place basically at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, the welcome dance at the school. Which is funny, considering what the school is. It's a school for assassins and killers, and they're all in tuxedos and dresses, and they're having a dance with Punch and a band, a really bad cover band playing 80s songs. And
Shabnam.
And in that backdrop of the very traditional American high school experience, there is all this murderous machinations happening. I just thought this was an amazing issue. This is one of my favorite issues of the series in general.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, I really liked it as well because I love the series. But I thought it was really interesting. Two things I thought were really interesting is one is that how quickly these new characters, like, I instantly became interested in them.
Yes.
You know, like they just grabbed me. And then secondly is the fallout of the first major arc, or the death of Marcus, and I forget her name, but the tattoo arm girl, like, she's clearly carrying the weight of what happened.
Yes.
And so that's your hook to what previously happened, but we're also going to move forward at the same time. It just, you know, within one issue just builds up the next phase in a great way. So I thought it was great.
Saya.
Yes.
Saya.
I like the coloring too. Everything has a purple backdrop to it. I guess that was the dance colors. The backgrounds, there's a purple light and everything. This was a really good looking book. We talked about Wes Craig a lot before. And there's not really any action in this issue. This is just a lot of people talking at this dance. But he still does it in a really dynamic and interesting way.
Jordan Boyd. Used to be Lee Lowridge, right?
Yes, so. he started it. Yep.
Yeah, okay. And now Jordan Boyd, who is the new up and comer.
Yeah. In fact, I started typing Lee Lowridge into the script, and I was like, wait.
I was unrelated, but I was reading the Nathan Fairbairn book that we're not talking about,
Lake of Fire.
Yeah. And I was a couple pages in. I was like, this is really good coloring. Who did this? And I was like, oh, right, it's Nathan Fairbairn. He wrote it, lettered it, and colored it. And I was like, right, that's a sort of a stupid question.
Yeah.
Josh, any thoughts on this issue?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I have a lot to... Like, I was like, okay, I can see why that's your pick of the week. It's not, like, my favorite book. Like, I enjoy it. I actually got behind on it for a little while, and then I caught up, and then as I was doing that, I kind of like it. It is, I mean, for me, the whole thing is a little bit of a bummer. Mm-hmm. It's, like, so mean and hard-edged that
that's interesting, because we're going to get to that another book that I felt that way, but for me, this is so over the top.
Yeah.
I don't get dragged down by it because it's so fantastical.
But the theme of it is still like, it's basically like wallowing in that teenage belief.
Angst.
Yeah, and that I find that stressful for too long at a time. So it's well done, obviously. but I don't
like the I like the irony of you finding angst stressful.
Teenage angst.
Okay, all right. If it was middle aged angst, you'd be more.
I can inclined. Relate to that. I know that teenage angst is bullshit. Like, after the fact, I'm like, oh, that was a waste of time.
So well, good thing you can...
In 20 years, you're going to look back and think that was a waste of time?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Totally. But I'm not relating to it. I've solved teenage angst. I got rid of all those hormones and everything was fine. Fine. Everything's fine.
Just, you were angry about the Irish character being written off so quickly, weren't you?
No, he was a little, like...
Oh, you were just insulted by his existence.
He was the Irish version of, like, Ron's Italian voice. like if he was Italian with a big black mustache and red overalls.
It's a me.
I like this rockabilly guy. I like the
he stood out. Yeah, the rockabilly Vietnamese kid was great.
Yeah,
because that's the interesting thing is that you have all of these stereotypes filling a cultural, the Irish guy and the German guy, whatever, and then you've got the Vietnamese kid who's in the rockabilly. Like, it was like that. That is the, you know, it's the little twist on it that where Remender is a creating an interesting character, but also pointing out the ridiculousness of the other characters that he's created, which I like. So
it's a great cover. Now that I'm looking at it.
This issue was filled with a whole bunch of Wes Craig backup stuff, including a evolution of the cover and a breakdown of the cover, which I thought was just I just spent 10 minutes just poring over those. Those were great. Yeah.
So this is actually a good jumping on point. It gives you what you need to know. And this is a school for kids who are actually exactly. There's a speech in the beginning from their headmaster, so it basically lays it out. This is a place if you've heard about this book and haven't checked it out. This is also a good place to start. It gives you everything you need to know, and these characters are really well drawn in terms of the art, but also in terms of the writing. You can understand them very quickly and relate to them very quickly. The freshman mixer. Although, why are there sophomores?
Where's the junior class in all this?
Why are the sophomores at the freshman mixer? Interesting.
Maybe they're
like the class leaders. Yeah, they're the,
yeah, they're gonna usher him in. Yeah,
I like this German guy.
They're like the mentors,
right?
You like a good German. That's
well,
what I found.
I mean, this is in the '80s. That's what you had in your eighties action films,
right? You know?
Or Russian.
Well, there's Russian already. We had the Russian in the first 2021 issues.
There was the great line in there, wasn't there, where the kid challenged the German kid, go, what good is your people good for than the starting world wars?
Yes.
Yeah, never forget.
All right, well, Deadly Class 22, on that awkward note, was the pick of the week. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, good pick. I back you. I don't know if it was my pick of the week, but it was very, 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 very good.
I'll go with that.
So we're taking our final trip into the DC Rebirth ratings.
Really?
Now, Have we confirmed that?
This is the end of the first wave, and I don't know that there's going to be any more. They haven't said that.
Connor, the ratings started in June. This has been a 4-month wave.
Right. We talked about how ridiculous the release schedule was, but
yeah, I know. I'm just highlighting.
They haven't said they're doing any more, and they've put out other books without a Rebirth issue. So I don't know that they're going to do any more. But I also state that definitively because I don't know. But these are the last two from the original announcement.
You can't trust. I can't trust anything they say. Right, so ratings.
Ratings. Sorry,
we're not doing ratings quite yet.
Ratings. 4.
So no, Batman. We're not. Batman
3.5.
Batman Beyond Rebirth, number 1, written by Dan Jurgens, who's now suddenly very busy.
With
art by Ryan Suk, who we never get to see anymore.
He's great.
He is great.
I was very, very excited when I saw his name. I was like, all right, him. The guy was the X-Factor before Dennis Calero had to do it for him.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and he's one of those guys that got, you know, was really, really good, couldn't do a full 22-page per issue monthly book, then was doing just covers, and it's great to see him on interiors again, but it's also interesting to see that this is a scaled down or a simplified, style of his art. That was still great. That was wonderful to see. But I was awesome to see him back in interiors.
And also, just so everyone knows, he's not doing the series. He just did the Rebirth issue.
I feel like that's a given at this point. If there's a great artist on the Rebirth book, buckle up, kids.
Bernard Chang, who's good also.
Bernard Chang is really good, yeah.
He's the series artist. At least that was way back when they first announced the series. But I never watched Batman Beyond. I have no connection to...
That's interesting. I was going to ask you about that.
I read some of the digital book that they did a while back that Breyfogle was drawing, but that was mostly focused on the old characters. I don't really know much about Terry McGinnis other than what I've seen him in random episodes of Justice League and or one or two episodes of the show. I never really watched it, so I don't have any connection to these characters. I thought this was fine. This was, you know, the art did a lot for it, but I thought the story was interesting. It was basically sort of a very simple primer for the character in the worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought this was more than fine. I thought this was good.
It was good.
I thought that this, you know, we talked about the many different forms these Rebirth books have taken, and the second book takes a different approach that we're going to talk about in a second. But this book took if you've never read Batman Beyond but you're curious about it, pick this up.
Right.
Because this gives you everything you need to know about the character, where he comes from, the world he's in, and then it gives you a little glimpse of wherever they're taking it to.
Very efficiently, too.
Very efficiently. And at the end of the day, Batman Beyond is just Superman 2099 as Batman. You know, Batman
Spider-Man
in the future. Spider-Man, I'm sorry, Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah. I was like, did I miss something?
Yeah, sorry. It's basically the Spider-Man 2099 concept, but applied to Batman, which, you know, a lot of people like that, you know, speculative future kind of, you know, what kind of world, Neo-Gotham and all that sort of stuff.
I love that. But, a lot of people like this.
No,
there's a big parenthesis there that we're just going to leave.
No, I don't mean it in that way. I don't mean it as disparaging, but, you know, but so... but that type of book that, you know, kind of taking place in the near future kind of, and that you get a lot of wacky jargon and language and, you know, and extreme ideas taken, you know, I don't know. So whatever, it's fine. It's good. But no, I enjoyed this. I thought it was, you know, I watched a couple episodes of the show. I haven't watched any of the comics that they've done in recent years, you know, so I had a base knowledge of it, but you know, again, you know, if you knew nothing about this, you could pick up this book and be ready to go.
Right.
I think we're all kind of in the same place here. Like I'm kind of like, that was pretty good. It was fine.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I don't care. Exactly. Yeah. That's
at the end of the day, like, I mean, I know we're skipping ahead, but no, we're not going to keep reading this.
No.
Right. So.
So let's
if this
ratings.
Is what you wanted. Fine.
Yeah. If you're a Batman Beyond fan, I think you're good.
Yeah.
I'm just not a Batman Beyond fan, so I'm not, you know.
Ratings.
I give it a 4.
I give it a 4.
3.5.
Sticking with it.
No.
All right. Teen Titans Rebirth. Written by Ben Percy, art by John Boy Myers.
And who did the colors there, Connor?
Jim Charalampidis.
All right, good work.
I'm pretty sure ran the diner near my house in Brooklyn. I liked the art in this a lot. I think John Boy Myers is really talented.
I didn't love it.
He has a cartoony style, and if you don't like that style, then I can totally get it. I like these characters on principle. I mean, these are, you know, Changeling and Starfire and Raven. They're all old school. You know, Wolfman and Perez, even before that, characters. But, you know, I hate Damian, so there's that.
The problem with this book is, unlike Batman Beyond Rebirth number 1, which got a 4 rating, if you weren't listening.
Ratings.
Unlike that book, the approach for this book is, we're just going to assume you know who everybody is and what's been going on in this universe and start our story. Including references to Tim Drake dying, you know, and stuff that's going on in the Bat books and all that sort of stuff. And I have a problem with that as the Rebirth book, because I don't think that's what the Rebirth
book. I wish that was, for me as a reader, I wish that's what they'd all been. Because that's how we talked about this before. This is how we always started to read comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We always did that. That's how it was. You know what's funny is, like, I know who these characters are because I read my kids the Teen Titans books.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For like a while. And so I was like, all right, I get who they all are. Not in this context. Obviously, these are different ones. But I don't know. When he turned into a shark, that was fucked up.
It was. What did you think that was going to do for him?
Yeah.
It was weird.
A bad choice.
So one thing that was odd, Ron, and I don't know if you noticed, maybe both for both of you, I assume you both read The Flash this week, was that I thought that new Wally West was drawn like a 40-year-old man in The Flash book.
Yeah.
And he even had like a receding hairline in one panel. And then in here, he's a little kid. I think this is such a bizarre thing they're doing with Wally West. I mean, you know, we've seen this a lot in comics where they're gender or racial swapping characters or they're creating new ones. And in Marvel's case, they're just making doubles of everyone. There's 2 Captain Americas, 2 Spider-Mans, 2 Thors, 2 Iron Men, 2 Hawkeyes, etc.
Don't want a white Captain America? Here's a black Captain America. Don't worry. Still got white Captain America. Carry on.
What's weird about The Flash is, like, there's 2 dudes named Wally West, and they're both Iris's nephew.
Weird.
Like, it's not even the racial element. It's just the fact that there's 2 of them, and they're the same name, and they're both Kid Flash, basically.
It's weird.
It's just
very weird.
This Kid Flash reveal, by the way, he's not doing a good job of hiding his identity. He's got his logo shaved into his head. And he's got a hat. You know what's funny is that I saw his hat and I thought, well, that's not good. And then in that same page, I saw another kid with a Flash shirt on. And I went, okay, play ball.
Yeah.
People wear Flash stuff there. I get it. That works. It didn't bother me because I don't care.
It doesn't bother me. I just think it's weird as a choice.
I thought he looked great as the Kid Flash, though. I was like, oh, that's way better than what you were doing him in the other book. Yes. I did think, isn't there another Wally West? But then I thought, because has he shown up again?
He's in the Titans book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he exists in the world. Yeah. I was like, maybe just showed up and went away.
If he didn't exist, this would be totally fine. But he's still out there in a Flash costume, Wally West running around being the Flash. And
it's definitely confusing and weird, and it's like cake. It's like want to have cake and eat it too at the same time. Problem.
Yeah. But that being said, like on his own,
he's great.
Yeah, I think it was kind of fun. I really like the art in this book.
Yeah.
Although I thought it fit really well. Having read it sort of in an animated style before, this sort of kicked it up a little bit. So it was sort of animated plus, you know, a little more adult and fun and really sort of kinetic. And if you look how the panels are during the other characters, like the Starfire and the Garth part, they're very different than when the Flash is on. Like all of a sudden the shape and speed of the panels changes in there. And I thought that was kind of fun. It's something you don't want to overuse, but that was kind of cool. Yeah, I had fun reading this. And
I did as well. I thought this was a strong end to Rebirth.
Ratings.
4.
I'll go 3.5.
Oh, I'm right there. I'm going to go 3.5.
All
All right. Sticking with it.
No.
You've really got to impress us now.
Yeah, pretty much.
To add another one, I mean, like, it has to be amazing. And the thing about the Rebirth books for readers like us, because not everybody's like this, but, like, when you say, here's this book, and also this team's not doing it, it's like, well, the hell do I know if I want to keep reading it then?
I believe this is the team still. This is the regular.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
I would read it if Damon wasn't in it. I like the other characters.
Looks like he's a bad guy in it. That's kind of fun.
He's their leader.
I love that you just draw the line.
I'm drawing the line. I can't draw. Yeah. The line is fluid because he's going to show up in the regular Bat books. I'm going to clearly have to read those, but.
Yeah.
No, I won't do it. I won't do it.
I can't have it.
Thus ends the Rebirth segment, the ratings Rebirth segment.
Rating.
We're going to continue rating our patron ratings. Books, but that doesn't for DC Rebirth as
you had
said,
to,
4 years going.
4 years. If you had to rate our ratings of the DC Rebirth books, what would you give them?
I give it a 3.
2.5.
I'm going to go with 2.5.
All right. See you next week.
Yeah. Bye. Saga 38, Brian K. Vaughan, you son of a bitch.
Did it again.
It's been a while since he's done this to us being the readers.
Our readers.
In this issue, we have the murder death of a beloved character.
He has no problem killing his darlings.
Yep. Kill your babies. Do it.
Literally. I mean, if it advances the story, it advances the story. You know, like that's the whole point of it, right? Is to create conflict and to you know, get an emotional response out of the reader. So we're just playing into his hands.
Not only that, because one thing he did really good here was with this particular character. Are we saying it?
Yeah.
We don't need to say it.
We don't need to.
Well,
if you have to, you can say it. It's fine.
Okay, I'm just trying to be nice if I don't have to. Like, you definitely we're in a zone of safety. Basically, we're like, well, we know this character lives, and this one, nothing can happen to this character.
Right.
And that's a really great time to pull the rug out. And especially since in this world, like, he can create all the rules.
Right.
He doesn't have to worry about anything. So, and it was sad.
This issue, I think, showcased really well what the series does. I love the time jumps, and this issue did it really well. So they have a situation in the beginning where they're stuck on this planet, and they're refueling, and they meet these furry creatures, and they're going to help them, give them some water and food. And then it's, well, you know, 6 months later, and they're all still living there, and the creatures have had kids. And, like, I thought he's done that really well where he's suddenly jumped, and then the status quo has changed because time has changed and people are older, and I think this was good. And then he stabbed you in the heart literally at the end. This is one of the better Saga issues.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm trying to think of things to say about it, and I can't. And I know that that's our job, but like we've said, like look at that's a great cover. Look at how painful it looks for her at the end, and the way that Fiona Staples drew that, and you feel it. But they just did what they do with their craft really, really well. There's a bit in the beginning where the babysitter gets mad at the kid, or the kid gets mad at the babysitter, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big clue that I didn't spot.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, it's one of those things.
It's right there.
You look back and go, oh, right. But you're right. That character seemed impervious to harm, so you don't think
about
it.
But that's good. That's just good storytelling.
And that character that's basically good. Said, hey, I'll go on that one last patrol by myself. And I didn't pick up on that either.
Yeah.
Might as well said I'm 2 days to retirement, too, while she was at it.
I'm getting too old for this.
Nova number 11, Ron.
Yes.
I thought of you when I read this issue.
The last issue of this run.
I thought this was a good run, but there's some big doings in this issue.
Been a great run, but yeah, this lays the groundwork for the return of Richard Rider. So we find out that Richard Rider merged with the World Mind, and he's been existing inside the World Mind as young Nova gets sucked in by the World Mind and just asks, hey, how does my helmet work? And gets a very brief answer and then seems satisfied with that. But big kind of end to Sean Ryan and Corey Smith's run, which I thought has been on the good, on the verge of great. It mm-hmm. wasn't quite great, but it was still good. And, you know, and I'm excited, and we get a little preview of what's to come as we see Richard Rider returning back to Long Island to go say hi to his mom. So I know that they got plans for Nova. I can't wait to see it. But, yeah, this was all right.
Are they still in Hempstead?
I don't know if they're in Hempstead. It's got to find them. They're probably, to be honest, they're probably not in Hempstead.
Well, he said, doesn't he say in the World Mind that he's from Hempstead?
Yes, it does.
And so you assume the mother's still in Hempstead?
Yeah, well, no, but it's been years, so I'm guessing she's probably moved on at this point.
Well, she should have held on to that house.
Not in Hempstead.
Because the property value. Just in general.
Yeah.
Just as an investment property.
How do you get to Hempstead?
The Hempstead Turnpike.
Yeah, it's got its own turnpike.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Well, la-di-da.
Wow. So it's fancy there, is what you're saying.
I don't know about fancy, but yeah. But anyway, I'm interested to see what's next for Nova. I know he's going to be – I mean, the kid Nova is not going anywhere.
No, you get two Novas, just like before. We said earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
all right. I can't get mad about Novas because they're like the Green Lanterns. There's a ton of them there.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we're going to have two main character Novas.
Yep. Which is fine because I love Rick Carter.
So. Well, that's why I thought of you, because he was always one of your favorite characters and he's been off the board for many years.
Yep.
I didn't think he'd ever come back, but now
I didn't think he would either.
Astro 39, 2 points. One, this could have very easily been pick of the week. Two, I'm kind of bummed it's not a single issue, because I thought it was a single issue story. It was wonderful.
No, I here's the thing, is that this probably was my pick of the week. And this issue
real close.
This is so good. And I had a couple of thoughts. My first thought is that this had real echoes. I know we always talk about the Confessor storyline, but Astro City works its best when it's combining the mythos of the heroes with the people on the street and the people of the city.
Yes.
Like totally.
And the way that those people
interact.
But deal with the weirdness of the part that makes Astro City fantastic.
Exactly.
Like literally fantastic. Like, oh, there's vampires.
Yeah,
we just deal with that because that's what you would do.
And so in reading this issue, you know, I'm like, oh, we're gonna get info on the Hanged Man. Wow, okay, we're gonna get an origin of the Hanged Man. This is gonna be a Hanged Man story. And then we get introduced to this wonderful character of this woman who's an accountant and she lives up on Shadow Hill. And you get the sense of community and what she's doing for you know, her community and why she stays. But then she can talk to dead people, which is crazy. And you know, and like, and all this like stuff. And then the Hanged Man gets folded back into it. And I was like, you know, if this is the first of a six issue or however many issue story similar to the Confessor storyline, strap me in. I'm all for it. Let's go on this ride, because it's been a while since we've been on this kind of ride.
I was kind of like, I love the Hanged Man, but I don't know why, because I don't know anything about him. I think that's part of why I love. So when they started to tell about the background, I was like, I don't want to know.
Yeah,
but also I do want to know. And they gave me just enough so that I was cool.
Yep,
I think that was very exciting. Because I mean, like, we haven't dealt with him in, honestly, like 20 years, right? I mean, that would have been
right. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know when. But and I think the best thing to ever happen to Astro City, and as sad as it makes me to say this, is moving on from relying on Brent Anderson to do all the illustrations.
Interesting.
Because I really think as great as Brent Anderson is, and as much as Brent Anderson has defined the visual look of Astro City, clearly as time has gone on, you know, like I get the sense that he was the cause for all the delays. And now that we've been on this regular schedule, they've been able to introduce artists who can draw in this style.
Yeah, that's key. Like, exactly. You're never quite sure.
Yeah.
Who's doing it.
Yep.
But it worked. Well, it's Carmen Carnero, and he's close enough to Brent Anderson that it worked and didn't really notice it. But I was a little bummed, because I'm always bummed that it's not Anderson, but it was fine. It worked out really well. This was one of the better issues. I mean, we've talked about this 39-issue run. A, it's been 39 issues of this new volume, which is crazy.
Right.
But this particular run has been really fantastic, and we talked a lot about that. It's been Pick of the Week a lot, but this was one of the better issues.
Yeah, it was great.
Interesting characters, really interesting. I'll be happy to read more about her.
Yeah.
Even though I thought it was a really great one-issue story, it could be read as a one-issue story and be fine, too. But that's how good Busick is.
Yeah, amazing. My pick of the week, easily.
I'm going with Six Pack and Dog Welder, Hard Traveling Heroes, number two. Also would have been my pick of the week.
Interesting. Well, yeah, it's basically a treatise on the state of Vertigo and John Constantine.
Yeah, and it's really hard to get away with that without making it shitty.
And if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Garth Ennis. I mean, that really? I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, when he does a superhero comic, he's at his best when commenting on superhero comics from a slight distance.
Right.
I really like when he does that. And if he did it too much, it would be terrible. But he did, what was it, like Hitman versus JLA, probably 10 years ago or maybe a little less. Mm-hmm. That was that kind of thing. Or whenever sort of Superman shows up in one of his things, there's a little bit like that. But like, I don't know how he got away with this.
I was thinking that too.
I mean, it really just says that DC is stupid. So Dogwelder has a crisis of confidence because he lost his family and he welded dogs to their faces, as he will. And he's sort of wandering around sad, and he comes around a corner and he starts talking to a John Constantine. There's a couple of things going on with John Constantine. He's complaining about what was done to him by continuity, meaning moving him from Vertigo over to DC, mm-hmm. changing the tone. They cut to him and he's wearing a space helmet and has like a old timey blaster gun.
Ray gun.
Also, he's talking like full on shitty Cockney.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not, and I don't know that everyone will get that, but like, that's not how he talks. It's a joke.
Right.
Like, it's not just a bad English accent to write. It's a stupid Dick Van Dyke English accent to write.
Also, he's on like a Silver Surfer board.
Yep. Oh, he is, isn't he? Yeah. So he's just he's the cipher for complaining about everything that's wrong.
Well, I love the bit about that I love the most was that he's wearing the space band bubble helmet, so he can't smoke.
Right.
You know, he keeps trying to bring the cigarette to his mouth and he's bumping against the glass. And then one time he gets it open, it closes and crushes the cigarette. Like, I thought the same thing you did. I was reading this going, geez.
Like, yeah.
How did this happen?
I think there's a lot of that. And I don't know. But I mean, I can't imagine it sells that many copies that they're just letting him do it because they must like him. Mm-hmm. That's all I can think of.
Who doesn't like Garth Ennis? I mean, that's the
kind of what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Then there's this other little bit where the Spectre is trying to find Bator, and they do a Spartacus.
Yeah, he needs to get Bator, but he doesn't know what Bator looks like. So,
I want to touch on Bator real quick. If you don't know, Bator is a demon character, and the only words he says are "I am Bator," and the whole thing was a joke, so that at some point in the comic book he would say the sentence "Master Bator." And that joke was nixed by DC. They didn't get to do it. But they kept the character named Bator. And all he says is, "I am Bator." And he's done a couple of other things since then. He's kind of gotten a little bit of a personality. But at the same time, that joke that they didn't let them do still hasn't happened. And this is the middle of a dog where in the comic where one of the characters walked around with his hand up a dog's butt the whole time.
He's a puppet.
Using the dog as a puppet. And that's not like a hidden or implied thing. That's a thing that happens. So I thought that was funny. And then
a dead dog, too, by the way.
Yeah. They're trying not to have him say, "I am Bator," because they don't want the Spectre to know and take him away. So everybody starts shouting, "I am Bator." And there's a panel where Batman is driving by and he throws his fist up in the air like an Olympic protester from 1968 and shouts that he is also Bator. And I was like, this is insane. And it made me laugh out loud quite hard. So it was just fun. It's one of those things I don't think you can get away with all that often.
Yeah, what's interesting was we had that Section 8 miniseries just a few months ago, and we were all saying how we were kind of sick of it by the end. Like, maybe it was a one-note joke that went on a little too long, or maybe these characters were better left as background characters, but I'm enjoying these two issues so far.
Yeah, they have been a lot of fun. Russ Braun doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. He's a frequent Ennis collaborator. He's done stuff with him. Yeah, it was just a fun issue. Steve Dillon cover, by the way.
Great covers.
Nice.
He did the first
Steve Dillon drawing. And maybe again, I don't know who's listening, but it's important to also note that like Steve Dillon drew and Garth Ennis wrote what is probably the finest Hellblazer run series of comics ever. I mean, they're stellar, and so to have Ennis writing this through the voice of the characters, actually not his best known character, but would have been if he'd never done anything else great. That's pretty cool.
And then we've also got this week was the release of the highly anticipated Surgeon X #1 that was edited by Karen Berger.
Was it?
Right in the cover.
That's what I hear.
Was it?
I hear.
Because I read a book that I'm not sure an editor went anywhere near. And I'm saying this as a person who respects Karen Berger's work and legacy, but I was like, come on, rein it in.
What? Yep.
What do you mean? So what were your problems with it?
There was so much in this issue that it felt like they were throwing everything against the wall. Like, everyone is dying because of climate change, but also because there's no antibiotics, but it's also government's gone awry, and there are corporate agents. Like, pick a thing. And like, there was so much information.
Well, I mean, the primary thing is the antibiotics. Everything else is really minor.
I know, but they were still trying to squeeze in all these things, and I think that they lost focus as a result of it.
I think this was note. This was written by Sarah Kenny with art by John Watkiss, and I think this image, Saga was one of the first books to do this, where the first issue was a double size, kind of give you more for your bang for your buck, and I think that works in some cases. In this case, I think it worked against it. I think there was too much going on. It was so heavy. It was so, and like, the thing is that, like, I think the concept is very interesting. You know, near future world where antibiotics are not available, and they're no longer working. There are problems with medical. It's one of those things that we take for granted. We don't really think about. Personally, for me, I get queasy. I'm not a big medical person. A lot of surgery in this book. The guy with the leg. But I just feel as if there was just too much repetitive stuff going on, and just a lot of not evened out emotions in it. It was just kind of one emotion of anger and angst about it. And this, the main character, who is the Surgeon X. And by the end of it, I was just like, oh, I don't want to go back here ever.
Also, it was a lot of information and setup and stuff, but I don't know any, I didn't get to know anything. I don't care. I'm going to put something, if I'm going to talk to you about a Vertigo book, what a Vertigo book is two things. It's a great pitch.
Yep.
And then there's an attitude from the work, either from the writer or the artist or the combination of both. There's something else. There's an X factor. That's that Garth Ennis thing we were just talking about. And that was the thing I didn't feel. I didn't feel the personality through this. I felt a lot of topics.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree that I think it was a great pitch idea.
Yes.
It's based on real science. The antibiotics are failing, and we aren't developing new ones. And,
that's really going to happen soon, by the way.
Yeah. The history here that they tell you is before antibiotics, 40% of all deaths are due to infections, and that's all real. So that is an interesting idea to explore. My biggest problem, I think I'm agreeing with Ron, is that, or both of you, is that the characters were not, I don't know anything about them other than what's on the surface. I don't feel compelled to go back. And what I mentioned earlier in the show is that this is the book that bummed me out. I was like, well,
yep.
I know this is kind of happening. I don't need to read about it. Like, there's enough. Everything else is bumming me out constantly. The news and everything else is constantly a bummer. I don't need to be now concerned about antibiotics. I mean, I'm supposed to be, and I get it in my other source. I don't need to do it in my comics either.
Well, yeah, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the thing
I can't
that's
develop
happening.
New antibiotics. I'm helpless.
And if you get an infection, you're still going to need those antibiotics that are here now, and you're making the problem worse. But what do you do? So at the end of it, like, I couldn't tell you the name of anybody or a personality of any of the characters in here that I liked or wanted to. Like, I just didn't get that. And I wanted to. But honestly, it read like it looked. And when I saw the cover, I was like, I'm not going to like that.
Yep. Karen Berger did some great work in Vertigo, but doesn't mean that everything she's going to touch is gold. And there's a whole lot of books that came out towards the end of her run at Vertigo that show that, that weren't Why the Last Man, or she, and keep in mind that she turned down Why the Last Man and they had to fight for it to get it in. So, I don't know, nothing against her. I think that she's done some great work, but not everything is instantly going to be amazing. And I think this is a good case of that. Oh, well. All right, so moving on from there. If you would like to help support iFanboy and keep this podcast coming to you on a weekly basis, you can go to iFanboy.com/support, where you can there's a couple of different ways where you can support the show. First and foremost, you can go to Amazon.com and just click on the link there on our website to go over to Amazon and do any of your shopping for books, clothes, Blu-rays, video games, antibiotics. Do they sell those?
I don't know.
No. No, those are still prescription materials.
Okay. Well, anyway, so, but you go to Amazon.com. All you got to do is click on the link on iFanboy.com/support, and a little bit of your purchase goes a long way. Amazon sends us a couple of pennies. Nothing comes out of your pocket, and it helps us out in the process.
A couple of pennies.
Yeah, just a couple of pennies. That's it. But we thank you. We thank everybody who's done that. But if you'd like to become a direct supporter of iFanboy, you can go to iFanboy.com/Patreon, where you can sign up to become a patron of the show, over 300 strong. We just had our first patron-only monthly hangout this past week. It was a lot of fun.
Ron got raw, so
Yeah, a lot of perks for the patrons. So if you go to ifanboy.com/patreon, you can find out about those perks. Pick a level that you're comfortable with, and if you become a patron, we're going to give you a wacky superpower. So stay tuned to later in the show, and we thank some patrons and give them superpowers. And finally, you go to ifanboy.com/support. And you can, if you just want to give a direct donation, there's a link there to PayPal where you can directly donate, and we thank everybody who's done that. So yeah, ifanboy.com/support, your source for keeping us in the podcasting game.
Josh, this was a rough week for Captain Marvel.
I mean, I put Captain Marvel 9 on the list again because it's the same thing I said before, and I know I'm sorry about that, but like the character assassination of I'm drunk. The character assassination of this character. So here's the thing: I keep dropping Captain Marvel and then forgetting about it because I liked it so much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ron made it pick of the week. It was Alpha Flight and her, and I thought, well, that's fun, and she was super fun, and now they're just forcing her into this thing, and like everybody hates you, but she's got to keep doing it, and they keep trying to find ways to salvage her. But more than that, more important than any of that, is that she is the main character of this whole thing. She's opposite Tony Stark, but she's getting more face time, and everybody's writing her different.
Yeah, yeah. That's the big problem.
She's different in every book.
Well, this issue summed it up in that, you know, that she's there with Alpha Flight, and the dumb Inhuman gets a vision that Aurora is going to fight, punch her at some point, and that conversation leads to the fight. It's like, come on.
Well, you have to.
That's how it works.
You had to. You don't say they're going to fight and then they don't fight. So
yeah. But
the fighting doesn't. You know, you're going to punch me, so I guess we got to put you in jail. But
yeah. Came from nowhere, though.
But also, if you read Ms. Marvel this week, it was similar. So they. You know, Ms. Marvel basically tricked her by staging a crime, and they came to arrest the guy. And he's like, he didn't do it. We staged this. And, you know, it's so clearly one-sided.
It was the same thing over in Spider-Woman, which was the best version of her, because Spider-Woman was mad and tried to get in a fight with her best friend, and then Captain Marvel wouldn't punch her.
Yeah.
I like the art in this a lot.
The art was good.
I feel there's a little bit of Ryan Otley vibe to it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I can see that. A little Ryan Otley mixed with Chris Anka. I can see that. Oh, well. So let's keep Josh angry.
Worthless. No, Hellblazer number 2 is actually pretty good.
You read it? Wow, you're reading it.
Yeah, I think.
Remember, we told the listeners he would read it. And he's
true, yes, we did. Yeah, we committed to it.
Was there a Rebirth Hellblazer? There wasn't.
You weren't on the show. You weren't on the show.
Okay. I've read them all, so.
We rated it and said you would read it for you.
I did. It's not great. It's not like Vertigo era, but it's Simon Oliver, who was actually he did a mini at one point, a Vertigo era Hellblazer, and he was supposed to take over, and then he didn't. I don't know what happened, but he didn't, because he did The Exterminators, with Tony Moore and then somebody else later. Really good series, and then you got Moritat on art on this, and it's not quite, it's still got a foot in DC, but it's a lot further over from where it had been. For one thing, just by being a British writer, he sounds better. He sounds more like himself. They've got Swamp Thing in there, but Swamp Thing and Constantine have always sort of been together. But it's I'm not offended by it. It's pretty good, and I'll actually take it.
I'm not offended by it. Dash Josh Lanning.
All right.
Well, I mean, I don't love it, but
I don't love it, but dot. Josh Lanning.
I see how this game works, and it turns out I can't win the Josh Lanigan story.
All right, so moving on. Suicide Squad number 3.
Why?
Guess how many pages of Jim Lee art you get in this one.
I know why now.
10?
12.
Wow.
Yeah, clearly that's what's going on here, is that he's doing, but yeah, if I was a Suicide Squad fan or a Jim Lee fan, I'd just be pissed. I didn't even read it. I just counted the number of pages.
What's the rest of the book?
They're backup stories about the characters. They're like little bios of the characters. Yeah. Anyway. And finally, Captain America, Steve Rogers, number 5.
I don't know where this is going to go because I stopped reading it.
Oh, interesting.
There is a world where you could have interwoven what's going on with Steve Rogers and the whole Hydra thing with Civil War and make it really interesting. But instead, what they did was they chose to do what happened in issue 5 and make it so comically amateur, it's laughable.
What do you mean?
Well, so this whole issue is showing what's been happening during the Civil War and what Captain America's been doing. So at the big party where they're celebrating the feeding the Celestials, whatever, wherever it finds out about Ulysses, apparently Hydra was where all the heroes were there having a party, clinking champagne. Apparently Hydra was going to attack that. But then Ulysses got introduced and Captain America told him to stand down. Right? Hmm. And then further, when Captain America, you know, so now the concern is that this Ulysses guy is going to see what they're doing. And so Captain America needs to take him out of the equation. He's going to go kill him. So he sneaks into the Inhumans, you know, into the Atelian, and he's there in the darkness. And Tony Stark is already there. And it's the scene where Tony's going to kill him and talks to Crystal. And that's whole starts the whole iron, you know. So like Captain America's on the fringes of what's going on. And it's just comically bad. It's just, it's amazing. This is just a representative of a missed opportunity.
All right.
It's weird. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't read it. I was like, I don't. I'm not. Again, I don't. I'm not mad about it. I don't.
How far did you make it?
What is this? Five?
Yeah,
five. I probably stopped after three.
I would pick up this issue and go watch the party scene because literally there's a Hydra agent with a bazooka about to shoot the party, and then Captain America taps his cell phone. This taps the stand down button, and it's just like really.
You have an app?
Yeah, apparently there's a Hydra app. So, oh well. And finally, we're going to move over to Star Wars Corner quickly for Star Wars number 23, which features a comically weird cover of Han Solo chasing Princess Leia on a ship. And when I saw this cover, I'm like, oh, come on. They don't just chase each other like this. And sure enough, they did it. So kudos to the Star Wars team for having the cover depict what happens in the issue. Which features a foot race between Han Solo and Princess Leia to decide who gets to be the captain of the stolen Star Destroyer.
By foot racing?
Yes.
By foot racing, yes. Well, no, foot racing and spacesuit racing and speeder bike racing. Apparently, a Star Destroyer is very large. So
yeah, with huge hallways. It was ridiculous, but I applaud them for getting away with it.
Yeah, me too. And I also applaud them for a really grisly moment where the admiral who was going to control the Star Destroyer for them gets captured and is tied to the front of a ship completely exposed and is frozen, and like that was really dark.
That wasn't very Star Wars.
I love this arc. I love this arc, by the way. This arc is so much fun and is so I know I picked the last issue's pick of the week, but this story continues to be one of the best ones of the run, I think.
So those are the books we're going to talk about this week. Now we'll do the patron pick. If you're a patron member at patreon.com/ifanboy, you can vote every week on one book to include in the show. And this week, squeaking it out by one vote, was Josie and the Pussycats, number one from Archie Comics, story by Marguerite Bennett and Cameron Diardio, art by Audrey Walk. And I'm of mixed feelings about this issue.
Why?
One of the things I always liked about Josie and the Pussycats were they were this kick-ass band. And yep. They have elevated Valerie here at the expense of making Josie really bad at singing.
Yep.
And I thought you can elevate Valerie to be the best singer in the band without
hurting Josie. Yeah.
And it felt to me like the kind of thing that people have complained about lately with, you don't need to tear down the one character to make Valerie the star. You can still make Valerie the star and have the band be still great.
Yeah.
Without that. So that kind of bugged me. But I thought this was fun. I liked the art a lot.
I thought this was what I would expect.
Right.
It was completely unsurprising and unchallenging at the same time.
It was a comic book for children.
There was adult jokes in here. There was some stuff.
There was adult jokes in there. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it was a comic book for. I mean, it was definitely written today.
It was
more
or less comic for children than anything we just talked about in the last 45 minutes. All
right. Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, it didn't rewrite the book on Josie and the Pussycats in the way that I'd hoped.
In fact, there's the joke where she's dating the...
You didn't even like saying that sentence, did you?
No, I didn't.
She's talking about how she's going to shower, and he says, well, since you're already going to be wet. I mean, this was not for kids.
Well, yeah, then they could have done a little better.
And also the whole pussycat and the animals. I'm not a big animal person, so but I know that there's a huge population that go squee over animals, and so that's fine.
I don't know.
So.
I we've said this before. I don't know who this was written for. I guess I assume children, but if it isn't, it's just not me.
Right.
Yeah, definitely not you.
Which is fair. Yeah. All right, so ratings.
I give it a 3.
I give it a 3.
2!
All right, sticking with it?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No.
So there's your patron pick. You can go to patreon.com/ifanboy and vote for the book to get the show every week. Sometimes the discussion is longer than others, depending on the book. And we'll see what happens next week when people vote.
I think if you had a young teenager who liked this kind of thing, it might be good for them.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to give that somewhat useful information. I just like.
Yeah, there's a huge market of kids, which is great now, you know, which is, you know, late, you know, like late elementary school, early middle school, whatever. They're reading a lot of manga. They're reading, you know, those kind of stuff. And this fits right in with those tones of that, with those kind of books. And so, yeah, I think it's a fine book for that age.
Yep.
As it should be from Archie.
All right, so we have time for one.
Yeah, let's just do it quickly.
One audience question, Greg B. from Oakland, California. What's your take on the overall theme of Rebirth? I like that book and read a few of the new DC titles, but what is Rebirth telling me? The A plots are currently what's going on. The B plot is the Rebirth culprit, which represents ... bad editing. I've been thinking about this since the second printing of Rebirth, minus the 3 hours of nervous sweats during and after the presidential debate.
I'm sorry, and I'm not reading every DC book and all stuff like that, but have we revisited what happened in the first Rebirth issue at all in any book?
Only been in Titans with Wally West.
Oh, that's the only one, right? Yeah. So
it hasn't. I don't know what he's talking about. I haven't seen any B plots dealing with the culprit other than Titans.
Yeah.
Every other book has just moved into it. The theme of Rebirth is to return to what made DC interesting and special.
Or just to move on from the New 52.
Well, I mean, to get back that feeling of nostalgic and legacy and things that have been lost before.
Yeah,
that's the theme of it. That's the intent of it, and that's happened in most of the books. They're not all the way there yet. The rumor is that there's going to be an event next summer, and that'll be the thing that really, you know, cements the new direction of DC.
God, next summer.
Come on, just make them now.
But why not? That's another. I'm happy. I'm happy to lead it into it, and then have that's how comics work. That's what I like about them.
I think, I don't know. I think that where we're at is that like the bar was really low, and they're a lot better than they were. But I don't know. I'm reading a lot more of them than I
think
was.
They're a lot better than they were.
Yeah.
I'm reading probably three times as many DC books as I read a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess there. Like, I don't know that. I don't think a bunch of them are like exemplary, but I think there's a lot of pretty good ones.
Right.
I don't know. Are there series in there that are like, this is great. This is the best take on whatever. I mean, it's the best take on the Flash in a while. I think for sure.
Green Lanterns.
I'm not reading those. So.
Yeah. So you're not. I mean. Yeah. For you, maybe, but not for me. It's been really pretty exceptional what they're doing. It's not there yet. They're not fully there yet. And hopefully whatever happens with the Watchmen characters next summer, after that's over, we'll get to where we need to be.
All right. So if you have any questions, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. Don't forget to tell us who you are and how long you thought about this and where you're from. We love getting your emails, so keep them coming in. All right. Now's the time that everyone's been waiting for.
We get to thank the patrons. We thank them by giving them a dumb superpower every week. We take four names from our list from patreon.com. I can't say that email URL this week.
Patreon.
Patreon.com/ifanboy, and we give them dumb superpowers as a way of thanking them for supporting the show. And this week, Josh starts us off.
Ben Hawks. Well, you don't want that guy to touch your phone.
Uh-oh.
Because as soon as he does, he's got a low magnetic field. Okay. And it's not a good power. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Not just a phone, but like a computer.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing, is that a lot of power is, you know, sometimes they're a blessing, sometimes they're a curse.
Yeah. I mean, it's helpful. Say that there's a nail 2-3 inches out of reach. He doesn't have to stretch. It'll come to him. But yeah, it's a nightmare for electronics.
All right.
He's a degausser.
Or like old hotel keys.
He's a low voltage degausser.
All right then.
All right.
Well, if you have videotape though, he can wipe that.
Right. Nope.
What about
or if you want to throw out your hard drive, he'll come over and put his hand on it, and you're done.
Oh, so he is great in cybersecurity. Cyber.
Bill Simony, thanks for being a patron. Bill can generate burritos.
How? Just, do I even want to know?
He just takes matter and it becomes a burrito. Any kind you want. Put any toppings on it. He can make the outside cooked, but only burritos, no other foods.
All right. Just and is there do you, is there any? I mean, because like I don't like beans in my burritos.
Yeah, he didn't know beans in your burrito. He can do whatever you
want. Okay, so he can take requests. Okay, yeah, good. Wow. Yeah.
Any kind of burrito you need, he can generate it.
Are they good?
Well, you know.
I mean, no, but I mean, like, there's.
They're not great. You know, they're not great. They're like they're okay, average. So they're average burritos. They're not
San Francisco Mission burritos. No. They're like, on the spectrum between Taco Bell and San Francisco, where are they?
In the middle. Like, he's not going to be opening any kind of restaurant anytime soon, but if you're, it gets the job done.
All right.
You know, they're average burritos. He generates average burritos.
It said these powers were a blessing and a curse.
Right.
All right. Well, continuing the blessing and a curse, we want to thank Martin Scherer for being a patron. And Martin has a spectacular power. This is amazing. It's right. Martin can breathe in outer space.
Wow.
Right. Except, why is it a curse? How the fuck do you get to outer space?
How can you even prove it?
Right.
How does he know?
Well, okay, wait. So then could he then breathe in any vacuum?
Yeah, he can breathe in any vacuum. Yep.
Well, that's there should be some usefulness there.
Absolutely, but it'd be really great if he'd just get to space.
Well, he wouldn't. I mean, he would still need a suit to protect his body from the elements.
No, he can survive in space, basically. Yeah,
he can survive in the cold void of space. It's not just breathing.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, he could survive in space. So.
Okay, see, the thing is, I bet if he could prove that, he could get to space.
But see, Martin
who's going to believe that?
He keeps applying to be an astronaut, and he's just not making it. He doesn't
You're going over to NASA, and you're saying, put me in the vacuum room and put it down to negative 400 degrees. Let me show you something.
And they're like, get the hell out of here, kid.
Yeah, what are you crazy? And then he's like constantly hitting refresh on SpaceX.com, waiting for the applications. Yeah, it's tough.
Hey, what are you opening that door for? I got this. Don't worry about it.
the NASA lawyers are never going to let them just put some random guy off the street into that room.
Yeah,
just never. Gonna
exactly.
Happen. He can't prove it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Sorry, Martin. All right, Josh, last one.
All right, Adam, I don't know. His power is that when he's working on something, he can instantly tell you the size of the tool he needs, like a 3-millimeter wrench. He can suss out measurements perfectly on site. It's sort of like perfect pitch, but for size.
Is it only things that require tools? Can he look at somebody and say you're 5'7" and 13 centimeters? Or
yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and bring it out there. He's like a what's the word? What's that person? You know, they're on the side of the road with the they have like
surveyor.
The surveyor. He's a human surveyor.
Human surveyor.
Wow. All right.
Interesting. How granular does it get?
I think we're gonna go with within the limits of normal human vision.
Okay. As far as the
other down to millimeters, like
yeah, down to millimeters. So if you can pick it up with the human eye, he can do that. Okay. Which makes it really helpful to say like. To take you furniture shopping. Because is this couch going to fit? Yeah.
What about this couch and this chair? No.
He would just know. Or like every time I have to go to the Home Depot, I always buy the wrong size screw or whatever. He doesn't have that problem.
So does he work at Home Depot to help other people?
No. He's an accountant.
No. All right, so there are the superpowers for our loyal patrons. And again, go to patreon.com/iFanboy to sign up and get yours. An important note on the Patreon as well, too. Swag has gone out. I'm surrounded by envelopes. You should be getting them within the week or so. So look for your mailboxes.
Is that why there the fucking spreadsheet was so messed up when I went to it?
Yes, because I'm working on it.
All right, let's plug some things that people don't actually listen to. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So a couple of days ago marked the release of Luke Cage on Netflix, the next Marvel TV series starring the wonderful, delightful Mike Coulter. We will be eventually doing a podcast about it once enough of us watch enough of it. So stay tuned for that. That's coming. It's not coming anytime soon, but it's coming.
It'll come whenever we can watch 13 hours of TV.
Yep.
So we mentioned earlier in this episode, but this week saw our first Patreon hangout. If you're, as we said earlier, if you're a member at patreon.com/iFanboy, we do a monthly one-hour hangout in which we talk about anything. This week, we probably spent 35% of the time talking about Tom Hanks movies. But that's what can happen on the Patreon. Anything can happen in the Patreon hangout. So if you're a member, look forward to that happening next month. So if you're not a member and you want to hang out and listen to us talk about and rank and rate Tom Hanks movies, go over, join up at patreon.com/ifanboy.
And if you would like to listen to us talk about a book, go to iFanboy's Booksplode, where we recently did Dark Knight, A True Batman Story, which is by Paul Dini and Eduardo Risso, where we talked about that. And the reason that that happens is because the patrons that Connor was just talking about hit a goal. Mm-hmm. And that was that we would be doing one of these every month, either a Booksplode or a Talksplode. So that means you have a Talksplode coming up at some point in the next month in October, and we will announce what that is when we are in a position to do so.
All right.
But all right. If we're doing a Booksplode, you can almost guarantee that it's a really good book that you should check out.
It's going to be
so
a book we like. We're not going to do a book of book we don't like.
So yeah. That book is a great book. So if you haven't listened to that show, you need to.
Excellent.
Or read the book. Or both. Do both. I think you should do both.
And you go head over to ifanboy.com where you can comment on this show. There's a post for every episode, and a lot of people have been asking on Twitter, and unfortunately you've probably stopped listening by now, but if you like the intro and outro music, we list who the artist is on the page on ifanboy.com as well as in the show notes of the show. No, we've been doing that for 10 years, so
it
was kind of odd how that suddenly became a question,
like numerous people,
like
four or five
people asked us in the last week on Twitter, and always on ifanboy.com on the show post. Always.
So go to ifanboy.com. You can look for that. You can find all the other podcasts that have come out, and it's all there
in the show notes. It's in the show notes.
Yeah. Anyway, nobody reads. But they do read social media, and you can read us on social media at facebook.com/ifanboy, and we're on Twitter at ifanboy. And you can follow us individually. You can follow Josh at J.A. Flanagan, Connor at C.S. Kilpatrick, and I am at RonXO.
And finally, if you like the show, write us a review on iTunes. That's how people find podcasts. And better yet, tell your friends. Tell your mailman. I've been having lots of good chats with my mailman lately. And if I didn't do the show, I would tell him about the show. And that's what you should do. That's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. My name is Connor.
I'm Ron.
I'm Josh. Not a mailman.
I got a letterman sweater with a letter in front. I got for football and track. I'm proud to wear it now when I cruise around the other parts of the town. I got my decal and